Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. After completing two missionary journeys, the Apostle Paul went back to Jerusalem. His determination to settle a church split there drove him into hardship, deprivation, and eventually execution in Rome. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on light shining in darkness, how the gospel impacts culture. Paul is now back at the home base for the young church. Listen now as we see what happens when the light shines in Jerusalem.
We're glad that you are here today, and we're here for one purpose during the next few moments, and that is to ask God to birth in us a passion for Him. Because the question that is before us is this: what is God able to do through a person who is God intoxicated, for whom only love for God really matters and doing God's will? It's the story of the Apostle Paul, and it's in the 21st chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 21, please turn to it in your Bibles, because you've got to follow along the progression. And in the process, we're going to be discussing such issues as God's will. How do you determine God's will? Not in detail, of course, but sometimes overriding compulsion by the Spirit enables us to do things we wouldn't normally do. And also, we're going to get right into the thick of the question of what is the relationship of Christianity and Judaism? How far is it that we should go in being a witness to those who perhaps come from a different tradition, a different religion, or a different culture? All that in the next few moments. Acts chapter 21 opens, and the Apostle Paul is finished all of his missionary journeys. He has only one desire left, actually two desires, if we could put it that way, and that is for him to visit the city of Jerusalem one last time and then go to Rome. And he's going to do both, despite the fact that there are those who advised him against it. So what we're going to do is to take some cameo shots today of the Apostle Paul's heart. You know, there are many people who are interested in the Apostle Paul's theology, but the problem is that these people who have his theology don't necessarily have his heart. Today we're going to see a glimmer into his passion and what made him tick. So in order to get the context, he's on his way to Jerusalem, and we're going to notice, first of all, his determination, his absolute determination to go, even against, catch this now, even against good advice. Normally, I never tell anyone to go against good advice, but the Apostle Paul did. But then, on the other hand, I've never spoken to the Apostle Paul either. Notice in chapter 21, we had come close to Cyprus, and then we sailed to Tyre. Verse 4, and having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days, and through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Through the Spirit, Paul, don't go. All right, with that in as a background, let's look at verse 8. On the next day, we departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who is one of the seven, and stayed with him. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Especially during the times of the New Testament, the gift of prophecy was evident, and it was not limited to men. And so we're not sure of what their prophecies were, but they were prophesying, these young ladies were, and a prophet by the name of Agabus, who shows up earlier in the book of Acts, he came, verse 11, he took Paul's belt, bound his own feet and hands, and says, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns the belt and deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles." Old Testament prophets frequently acted out their prophecies. And to make it vivid, that's just exactly what he did. When we heard this, verse 12, and who's the we? Remember, the book of Acts was written by Luke, Timothy was there. Seven or eight other people mentioned in the previous chapter are there as well. Paul is taking them as a delegation to Jerusalem. And he's determined to go to Jerusalem. And you'll notice it says, when we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, well, let the will of the Lord be done. Paul was determined to go to Jerusalem because the church was about to split. Furthermore, he had an offering that he was bringing from other churches that he wanted to bring to Jerusalem, and he thought that this would heal the rift between Jew and Gentile. From the Gentiles, he received money to give to the Jews who are going through a time of poverty in Jerusalem because of a famine. And so what he thought was, I want to go there personally. Time out. Did Paul do what was right or not? Many commentators say no, he was just stubborn. Through the Spirit told, don't go. Then Agabus says, this is going to happen to you. All of the good advice was, don't do it, and Paul did it anyway. I'm going to argue that Paul did do the right thing, even though when he got to Jerusalem, it was like a spark in a can of kerosene. Everything blew up. But Paul was determined. I think that the warnings should be interpreted as warnings and not necessarily as prohibitions. Because in chapter 22, when he's speaking to the elders at Ephesus, he says this. It says, verse 22 of chapter 20, and now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and affliction awaits me. Well, does the Holy Spirit contradict himself? Give one message to these people in the Spirit and then another message to Paul? I don't think so. I think that they prophesied in the Spirit in the sense that they were warning Paul, not necessarily prohibiting him. I'm going to give the Apostle Paul the benefit of the doubt, even though there are some people who think he did the wrong thing. But we're going to assume that he did the right thing, and I think it'll become evident as we go through the text. But talk about determination. You're warning me that I'm going to Jerusalem? I am willing to be imprisoned and to die in Jerusalem for the sake of the faith. Would that we had 1,000 Apostle Pauls. That's his determination. What is his dilemma? What happens when he gets there to the city of Jerusalem? Well, he meets with James. Now, James is the half-brother of Jesus. And James, on the following day, I'm now in verse 18 of chapter 21, he went with us, and the elders were present. After greeting them, Paul related one by one the things God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified God. I love that because clearly Paul was not honoring himself here. What Paul was doing is talking about what God had done. And when the report was over, they glorified God. That's the way it should be after every missionary report. After we find out what happened in Africa with Mary being there and she comes back, we should end up giving God glory because it's not about us. How clear God makes it. It is always about him. So they give him the glory. They give God the glory. But then, here it is now, the split that's about to happen and Paul is about to exacerbate it. You'll notice it says, when they heard it, they glorified God. They said to him, you see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed. They are all zealous for the law. Wow. 3,000 people converted on the day of Pentecost, they believed. A couple thousand later, mentioned in the book of Acts. And then you begin to ask yourself, think now 20 years after Pentecost, think of the thousands and the thousands of Jews that were converted in Jerusalem. But there was a problem that could have split the church and seemed as if it would. Here it was. Now, put yourself in the sandals of a first century Jew. You have been taught that you should honor the feast days. You should honor the dietary laws. You should restrict your travel on the Sabbath day. All of this is in the Old Testament. You should bring sacrifices to the temple in accordance with God's prescriptions. You have all of these commands, and you're an observant Jew, and you want to keep all of them in honor of God. And that's what many of the Jews were doing. Now, along comes a man by the name of the Apostle Paul who says, you don't have to do that because salvation is free through Jesus and the law has been done away. And what are they saying? They're saying, wait a moment now, and who are you to tell us that the law has been done away? So you have two groups of Jews. You have those who dig in their heels and say, we will not change our view because God gave us these laws and only God can take them away. You have another group who's convinced that Jesus is the Messiah, and they say, yeah, God gave us these laws, that's true, but Jesus is God, and Jesus did do away with them and taught us that the Old Testament laws were but a shadow of what was to come. And they believed in Jesus, but they were still zealous for the law. That's what the Bible says. James says, thousands believe, but they're still zealous for the law. Now, how does Paul get wrapped up in this? Notice it says, and verse 21, and they've been told about you, he's speaking to Paul, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to their customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. You're going to stir up a riot here in Jerusalem, Paul. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. The reason I preached this series of messages, Light Shining in Darkness, is that I wanted all of us to understand what the early church endured to get the gospel out. The beginning of churches, persecution, all of this was a part of what God called them to do. But just think, in the midst of tremendous opposition, they served the Lord so faithfully and with so much courage that the churches throughout the land grew. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had the spirit of the early apostles? Actually, we do. Thanks to the power of the Holy Spirit of God who indwells all believers, we too can make a difference. I think that what is lacking is faith, the ability to believe God in the midst of difficult circumstances and to see God's hand even in that which appears so clearly to be against us. Well, those words of encouragement I want you to have today, and at the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how you can receive these messages. You might want to use them in a Bible study, or to encourage you, or to instruct you as you witness wherever God has planted you. Thanks for joining Running to Win. See you next time.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Light Shines in Jerusalem, the fifth message in a series on light shining in darkness. Next time on Running to Win, more on settling an argument threatening the young church. Light Shining in Darkness, 8 messages on CD, can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.